You're listening to Elevated right here on Radio Pulpit with me, Jenna Lee Belong. And our guest for today is the senior pastor of Ebenezer International, who's also a prophetic apostolic voice to churches and families, who's pursuing authentic revival and generational transformation. Alipat Fanibayav, all the way from Port Elizabeth, Pastor Brenton Goldman. Thank you so much for joining me here on Elevated. Welcome.
Thank you, Jenalee. It's a blessing to be with you. I mean, you know, God is good, like we always say all the time, and all the time God is good. So it's a blessing for me to be with you and the family today.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I can't wait to hear more about your family, quite a big one that you have, and the way that you serve the Lord together. But before we get there, Pastor, let's go back into your upbringing, who exactly you are in terms of your upbringing. We might know the pastor that we see on social media or that we know in person in Port Elizabeth, but who is Brenton Goldman, the one that grew up in PE?
Well, firstly, I'm the son of Neville and Georgie Goldman. And so I think I'm someone who loves music. I grew up with my dad being a church planter and a church pioneer. So I'm a through and through pastor's kid. I love church. I grew up loving church. You know, the way my parents raised us was beautiful because they taught us to find Jesus. You know, find Jesus for yourself, you know, and growing up like this. So I'm a pastor's kid who became a pastor himself. And I'm blessed to be, you know, I'm blessed to be walking in my dad's footsteps. You know, it's a lot of pastor sons. I know sometimes they're not very, very excited about that, but I'm one of many, though, who are blessed to be walking in their father's footsteps.
Let's talk about that, Pastor. A lot of PKs, they will say that the first thing I'm going to do is not get into ministry because I've seen what it did to my parents. I've seen a lot of them are saying, I saw how they suffered or sacrificed. What is it that you think pulled you into ministry? What is it that you saw in your parents that stirred up ministry in you as well?
So firstly, my dad and mom loves Jesus. It sounds simple, but we learn something in life. Whatever simple can be applied, whatever can be applied becomes powerful in your life. So simple, practical, and powerful, you know. And so when I saw this in my dad's life, still today, if you go to Neville and Roger's house at 6 a.m. in the morning, you'll find dad in the bedroom with a laptop open, mom with a Bible open and praying in the lounge. This is how I grew up. When we were bored, mom said, read the Bible. When we wanted something to do, she said, go in your room and pray. You know, we growing up, why I have to start with Jesus and not the church, it's because my dad didn't give us church. He never gave us church. He was the leader of a church, but he wasn't coming home and being apostle or at the time Pastor Neville. No, when he was at home, he was dad. Mm. He was, in our eyes, he was a great father and a lover to my mother.
Wow. A great father and a lover to your mother. Beautiful.
Yeah. Why do I say lover? Because my dad held my mom's hand. He kissed her, always on the lips, never on the cheeks, always on the lips. I'll never forget this. Let me tell you a fun story. I was probably about 12 years old. I've told people the story many times. My dad turns around and we get in the car. We're about to leave. My brother and I are sitting on the back seat, young little boys. And he turns around. He looks at us. He says, have you ever seen a man kiss a woman? And we're looking at him. We're like, what is dad talking about today? You know, and he leans over to my mom and he French kisses her.
Hey.
You know? Yeah, not was it a puck swinkini?
Listen, come
and,
on, man
and my
of
dad
God.
says this. He says this, what you see in the movies, that's fake. This is the real thing. When you love a woman, this is how you kiss a woman. When you're in love with someone, you marry her, you make her your queen. So many, if you understand what I'm saying, when you ask the question, why don't I have the perception of ministry? My dad pioneered the church, started the church. Just yesterday, we were talking about there was a season when when he just started where someone closed the church, and he went and got the keys again and opened the church and started alone. He used to go to that place and just pray and worship God. So this is a church pioneer through and through. You know, ons was at one time ons was a klaskamer kerkie. You see, and God has used the apostle, my dad. And so when I see this loving father, amazing husband, who is a pastor, we separated ourselves from church politics. We had about five church splits over the years. We've had many people call my dad false. We've had many people. My dad comes out of Satanism, so they said at one stage he was a Satanist camouflaging as a pastor. Wild, you know. So, but how do we survive church politics? You love Jesus.
I love
You love
that.
Jesus.
I
If
love
it
that.
had not been for the Lord, where would we be as the church? If it had not been for all the church politics, all the title wrestles, all the who's next in line conversations, it's in every church. It's not in your church alone, whoever's listening. It's in every church, you know. And so we love Jesus first, and then we love the people that he's given us.
I love that. And I can just imagine that that is what you're modeling to your children today as well. Let's take it back
Absolutely.
to where you ended up finding Jesus. Because you are a PK, sometimes people think you are born again, you know, from the minute that you woke up. Was it that case for you? When did
Yeah,
you get
you
born
came
again?
out of the womb praying in tongues. Full of the Holy Ghost,
I'm
laying your
telling
hands
you.
upon the sick. You know, I think one of the beautiful things is that at the age of 11 in 1993, I gave my life to Jesus on the 11th of October. I'll never forget that day because it was in a children's ministry class. And we were privileged to have Auntie Aggie, who was one of the founders of our church, be my children's church lead, leading me to the Lord. She told me after I gave my heart to the Lord, she said, "Now go home and ask your father, has he given his life to Jesus? Go home." And so I remember that, you know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. I believe that there are many times you come to different revelations of Jesus based on where you are in your life. So I believe we always come to Jesus at different stages. That doorway was the doorway of salvation. And as I grew up, I think where I went into the typical pastor son scenario was, you know, my dad and mom is this blueprint of marriage. They're this blueprint of leadership. Started three churches in the city, grew, you know, from being 20 in a classroom to 3,000 in membership. You know, I mean, just wow, what has God done? And then I get married and I go through this whole season and end up divorced, you know. And this is like, you know, 20 years, 10 years ago, different places in my life where I found myself. But, you know, the Bible says that when you give your life to Jesus, the Bible gives us a promise by the Holy Spirit that he will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
And
Amen.
so many times, you know, the Bible carries us. The Bible says that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's not death, it's a shadow of death. You are not going through something that will kill you. You're going through something that feels like it will kill you, feels like it's the end, but it's not the end. And I had to learn just what my dad taught me. You know, when you get messed up in life, you look for someone to blame. You know, I wanted to blame my dad. You know, you raised us in church. You did the all we knew was church. And my dad stops me and he starts laughing. And I'm like, "Why are you laughing?" You know, and he says this to me, "I never raised you in church. I raised you in the presence of God." And what a revelation in my mess. The Lord uses my dad to pull me closer to the presence of God. I wasn't raised in church. I was raised around the Holy Spirit. I was raised around the revelation of Jesus. I was raised to be pleasing to the Father who is in heaven, you know. And everything starts shifting. And over a period of time, I came to him in salvation. I had to come to him in deliverance. I had to come to him in restoration. And now, where I am today, I thank the Lord that Romans 8:18 says that this present suffering cannot be compared to the glory that will be revealed. Your present suffering is only a preview of a coming glory. What you are going through is a testimony. The harder the things are for you, the greater the glory. You just have to
Amen.
stick it through, you know? And
Amen.
so
Amen.
I came to Jesus as a young boy. I went through life, but I love Jesus more than anything.
I love that. And it's so evident in you. By the way, for our listeners, it's not just during the interview, even before Pastor Brenton and I, we had some technical difficulties. And the way that he sorted it out, you could already see Jesus and the light of God in
Ah,
him.
thank you
So
so
I
much.
love the fact that it's just so evident. You shared briefly now about going through divorce. And, I'm wondering what you learned in that period. I ask it because a lot of people, once they go through a divorce or any kind of a difficult situation that perhaps the church sees as taboo, instead of continuing to come to Jesus, like you've mentioned, they end up running away from Jesus, running away from church itself because of some of the reactions that they get. I'm imagining as a PK for you, that must have been hard as well. Talk us through that period.
Let me start with, when you have these conversations, you immediately go to church hurt. Let me just share what I've learned through my season, and I'm not saying this is blueprint or gospel. I'm just saying that when I went through my season of losing my way, you have to take responsibility for fundamental issues in life. It's not pleasing to God for anyone to go through a divorce. Now, I do know I'm not speaking about, abusive situations or, I'm talking about just generally as a principle, we don't get married to be separated. No one has a goal the day you get married to say, in 10 years' time, my alarm's going to go off and say, let's review. Nobody wakes up. And the first thing I learned is that you have to honor the commandments of God. Because if you don't honor the commandments of God, you then rest on the opinions of men. And in brokenness, you need to acknowledge God and recognize that you've lost your way. I had to recognize, I had to come to the conclusion that there's the bride of Christ here. Besides the bride I'm leaving, I'm going to leave the bride of Christ. How am I going to leave them? I'm going to leave them confused. How can someone who serves the Lord, preaches the gospel, lead us into the presence of the Lord, do something like this? You have to take responsibility when you are a leader in the house of God, when you mess up in your life. The kingdom of God is the only place you can lose your job for doing something according to your own desires. You can leave your wife and still go work at VW. You can do all of that, but in the house of God, that's unacceptable. And I found myself in a place where I was unacceptable. And that I had to acknowledge. Many people who are in a mess don't want to acknowledge that what they are doing is firstly unacceptable. And so in hindsight, I can look back and say, I was justifying. Now, we must remember we justified by the blood. But you also must remember when you are trying to accommodate your flesh, then what you justify, you can't live by. And so I was trying to say there's so many reasons for this. And when I went through that season, I realized this, that it's the bride of Christ I hurt. I never hurt church members. I hurt the bride of Christ. I hurt the body of Christ, the body Jesus died for. I made the blood of Christ of no effect because of my personal choices. Now, thank God I'm not there anymore, praise here.
Yeah, amen,
But
amen,
I think, to start there, I think it's we the first thing I learned was take responsibility, because you're putting people in a position they never thought they would be with you.
Yes. Yeah, and they
You
also have
know,
to process.
when
Yeah.
you're building ministry and you're doing well at ministry, that God has graced you. In my life, I'm not a carpenter, I'm not a doctor. I am a Levite. I am called to the house of the Lord. I've been born to serve in the house of the Lord. It's what it's my dad's taught me systems. I grew up in church systems. I grew up in growth systems. I grew up in restoration systems. And so when I went through something that, you know, is not acceptable in the house of God, I firstly had to realize that I firstly had to restore myself back unto the Lord. And then I had to restore myself back to the house of the Lord.
I want
You
you to
know?
talk. I want you to talk about that process of restoration before we take a quick music break. What did that conversation and the process of restoration look like when it came to church specifically between you, your dad, you, God, you, your family? What did that process of restoration look like? I ask that because I believe somebody might be listening. It's the beginning of the year, and they want to be restored, and they don't know where to start. They don't know what to say.
Look, you cannot firstly expect the church to restore you. That's the first challenge, because you must be restored unto the Lord. That's a personal restoration between you and God. Now, many people, when they go through these type of things, they're expecting their pastor to have the blueprint to get them back to where, not where they used to be, but no, do you know where you're taking me? You're saying you're restoring me, but where are you taking me? No, my brother, my sister, where are you going? Because if your restoration is dependent on the arm of flesh, I'd rather be in the hands of God than in the hands of men. You know, but here's the flip side of it is, you can a lot of things on the pathway to restoration I might not have agreed upon. You know, let me give you one of the things that by the grace of God, you know, we shifted a little bit. So in the season when I'm talking about like 10 years ago now, in the season where I ended up getting divorced, you know, our church had a policy of you announce this publicly to the church. You stand up in the pulpit, Pastor Brenton Goldman finds himself. And I didn't want that, because I had little kids. I thought, what, how does my kids hear this about me? And so, you know, but even though I didn't agree with it, I was submitted to the process. Because when you want to be restored to the body, after you're restored with the Lord, the restoration to God is the quick part.
Interestingly enough.
The restoration to the body is the process. And you know what I did? I met with almost every area in our church and repented to the people. I said, I might not need to do this, but if you are in the room and you are part of the people that I need to do this for, please forgive me for the journey that I've just come from. Please forgive me for the 5-year delay in my life, for the 10-year delay in my life. Forgive me if I was attached to your calling. Forgive me if I was attached to your breakthrough. You know, because we forget that God, you want to be called a man of God, then you must remember there's a responsibility. You know, and I think I was young. I was young and zealous, you know, and I think that's why I love Romans 8:18. This present suffering cannot be compared. I didn't see this interview with you today. I didn't see the glory of God's goodness, that if I look back, people should have written me off. I don't deserve to be here, but by the grace of God.
You are the senior pastor of this amazing movement. When you hear that, and I must say, now that we know some of your testimony, it's amazing what God can do, the
Thank
restoration and
you.
how He uses us. It's just incredible. When you hear that you are the senior pastor, you spoke about the history of some church splits that you went through as well, surviving church politics. You spoke of church hurt. What does it feel like to be the senior pastor?
Oh man, you know the I think I think I'm still trying to figure that out. You know, My dad has set such it's not about a high standard. It's not about a high standard. The standard is Jesus. He's the highest standard. I'm only saying that because that's how we've been taught, you know. My dad's work ethic, you know, leave the anointing. The anointing comes upon something. The anointing comes upon someone. And you have to be an individual that has been shaped for what God is going to anoint you for. And my dad has taught, he's given me that key. Apostle Neville is a he's a master strategist. So when you're looking at saying I'm the senior pastor, it's really an honor and a privilege to be able to have been given and trusted this to by someone who is my dad. If my father was a doctor, I probably would have ended up being a doctor. If my father was a mechanic, I would have been ended up being a mechanic. My dad, he models who he is so well. I've never seen my father shout at my mother. I've never seen him lift his hand. I've never seen him drunk. I've never seen him high. I've never seen him act out of, you know, have I seen him upset? Absolutely. He's a man, you know, but I've got this image. So when you say senior pastor of this church, I'm referencing to this amazing dad that I had who happens to be my apostle. You know, I honor him more as an apostle than as my spirit, as my spiritual father than my natural father, because I now recognize he's a man of God. On top of being this great father, on top of being this great husband, he's a man of God who God has chosen. And so when I've been given this task, I've been pastoring the church for 4 years. It's I believe that something that resonates with me as a senior leader is that God has not called people to me, but he's called people to grow through me. I don't need everyone following me. I need them following Jesus. Am I going to help them? Am I going to be a conduit of that? Absolutely. I want to demonstrate what it looks like to follow Jesus, but I feel it's more powerful when people become like Jesus instead of me as their senior pastor. You know, I want them to follow me. Who doesn't want to be followed? You know, but I think Matthew 4:19 says, follow me, Jesus, and I will make you. You know, we've tried too many times as senior leaders to make people. You can only make someone based on your own capacity. And the problem is, you don't have the ability to create in a man what God can. You know, so you
Absolutely.
what you try and do then you try and make them something that God is not. God doesn't want them to be like me. God wants them to be like Jesus.
I wouldn't want anybody to be like me. Please do not be
Yeah.
like me.
Disclaimer, do not be
That
like me.
do not be like me. I'm trying to become like Jesus myself. So you better
Absolutely.
strive for that too. Earlier, you were mentioning how Apostle Neville is just he's incredible with systems and
Yeah.
strategies. And you mentioned that he is specifically very good with church growth systems, something that a
Yeah.
lot of pastors perhaps might be struggling with. As somebody who
Yeah.
has witnessed it, but who's also now received those systems and you have to manage it, you were mentioning thousands earlier. Talk us
Yeah.
through that. What would be some of the advice that you would share with
Yeah.
pastors?
So I think, you know, the most interesting thing to notice about growth is that if you take John 15, sometimes growth is becoming less. He says, I'll prune you so that you can bear much fruit. And so you must understand sometimes your church, it might seem like, you know, like for us, let me share it with you where we are now. We are not where we were. We're not 3,000 people anymore. After COVID, the church went drastically down. We probably closer to 1,000 people, but not where we used to be. But that's because growth is seasonal. You know, when you if and also if I start comparing myself to my dad, then where the problems come in, I have to look at what he did and how he did it. But God has not graced me in the season to function that way because the fruits that we have to produce is different. It's the same church, but every season God wants something different from the same church. The vision is the same, but the fruits can differ, you know. And so as we look at this, one of the I'll give you one of the simple systems my dad has given. Any church who applies this, whether you're 50 people, 100 people, 500 people, 5,000 people, Follow up, the follow up, the follow up, the follow up, the follow up. I'll continue and continue. When someone walks in through your door, how many times before the next Sunday have you spoken to them? So it is kingdom customer service.
Love that, love that, love that.
So that's a simple key. It's loving the people. If you spend less time getting the people to follow you and more time loving the people, the fruit of loving the people is they follow you. You cannot start with wanting them to submit and call you dad and papa and daddy and all this stuff, but you haven't made them feel like a son and a daughter. The second key, one of the second keys I'll give pastors today to help you grow, which might not sound like a growth strategy because people want give me 1 + 1 = 2. Church growth doesn't work that way. You can grow your church fast, but just as fast as you'll grow your church, you'll probably run out, because you must remember that you don't choose your sheep. God gives you sheep. Do you want sheep that comes with 10,000 rand tithes, or do you want sheep? Because you see, that's where the problems start. That's when you choose your sheep, because the 10 rand sheep tithers are not helping you as much with the 1,000 rand. So we've learned something, we apply something. We don't categorize our people, we don't choose our sheep. Whoever walks into the door, we serve them the same. Whether you are working as a factory worker, or you someone that is giving people jobs and you don't need nobody's money, that's not what we're looking at. Souls is the most important thing. We see people who are wealthy battle with their souls. People who are depressed are not only the people struggling with their finances. Sometimes the most depressed people are the people that don't worry about their bills. They start stressing about something else, So we've learned that you gotta love people. And obviously, if you sit down, there's a lot more to it, how to actually break growth barriers from 50 to 100, from 100 to 200. There are systems in place to break growth barriers. And if you apply these kingdom principles, you'll see the fruits of it.
There's so much more that we could have unpacked. Maybe we need another conversation, but I have to now
Yeah.
shift the attention to your
Sure.
family. I wanted to still go into
Yeah.
comparison because that was so powerful what you said there.
Yeah.
We'll save that for part two, all right?
Okay. Perfect. Perfect.
Let's go to your family.
Ah.
Serving the Lord together. It's
Come
just
on.
such a beautiful thing. Tell me about them and the role
Yeah.
that they're playing in all of this.
So let me start with my wonderful wife, Umensha. So I married Umensha 4 years ago. When we got married, it was crazy because, I said to my dad, I said, "Dad, I think I've fallen in love. I don't know how to get out of, I don't know how to stop loving this woman." He said to me, "Are you sure?" Because you mentioned she's a worship leader. She's, like perfect. We would be the perfect ministry couple. My dad said, "Are you sure you're not marrying her because she's a worship leader?" So I said, "Come on, Dad. I'm using my eyes here. And I'm looking at her. I love what I see." And we got married in 2021. It was once I spoke to my dad. My dad said, "Well, if this is gonna be your girlfriend, no church wants a pastor that has a girlfriend." He said,
That's
so from when I told my dad, 3 months later we were married. We got
Wow.
engaged and married 2021. And you mentioned married me with my four girls, Gabrielle, Mikhail, Gemma, and Annabelle. And we started this beautiful journey. It's why I love the phrase revival looks like family. In 2018 was the first season in the church. I started the series Revival Looks Like Family. And because, when you're a blended family, you are a family within a family. You mentioned I have two beautiful kids together, Daniel and Adassa. Daniel is 4, turning 4 now. Adassa's only, I think she's only 6 months old now. And so you have to realize that when God's giving you blended family, you start realizing you need more wisdom here. Because remember, someone's coming into an existing family, and now roles get challenged because is this my mom? No, this is not my mom. This is, is this, and so, but then we just step back and we leaned on the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes when you want to lose it, you gotta ask the Holy Spirit, how do I communicate this? And so through all of that, I mean, 4 years later into marriage, we've all figured it out. It wasn't always easy, but we figured it out. And once again, the same way I was raised, I'm giving Jesus to my children.
And I must say, I love how you said we've all figured it out because
Yes.
everybody needs to figure it
Everyone.
out. And
Yeah,
that's
Daniel
the
has to figure it out as well.
exactly. And that's a process. If you were to give young couples advice on establishing and raising blended families, just two short pieces of advice where you think if they could start here, that would help. Based on your experience, what would that be?
I would say don't assume your children are okay. First place, it's not about you, it's about your children. Just remember that children adapt very quickly. So they adapt to unhealthy environments as well. That becomes their normal. So when you're going through something as devastating as a divorce, you must remember immediately you're asking your child to choose. A child was never supposed to be in a situation to choose between someone they love. Someone remember they don't know what marriage looks like outside of what you're giving them. You're giving them arguments every day. That's what they believe about marriage. So that's the first thing I would say. Don't assume your kids are okay. Talk, be transparent with them. Tell them, I told my children, Dad messed up. I had an affair. I left your mom. I told them the truth. I wasn't saying, Dad and mom are going through something. Don't, the kids are not dumb today. They're not ignorant. They're watching this stuff on YouTube. They're watching celebrities get divorced. They're watching how these people get divorced and they're seeing it in their own family. And we're thinking, as many kinners. But so the first thing is don't assume. Then understand everybody's roles. Define your roles clearly. When Yumensha came into our home, I couldn't tell the kids, now, you know what? You want to make this marriage easy for dad? Please, call Auntie Manj, mom. I couldn't say that. Why? Because they needed to grow into that. And so we built the relationship. Understand your roles so that when you're stepping into an environment, are you talking to the kids as their father? Are you talking to your wife as the father? Or are you talking to your wife as the husband? Because as a father, I'm always going to be for my kids. So understanding the roles is very important.
I love that. And Pastor, this is what we have time for today. But as I said, I believe we need to continue the conversation if that's okay with you. Within the last few minutes that we have, I'd like to ask you what word you want to leave with our
All right.
listeners for this year, for this season. What would you like to leave with them?
Simple principle. The Lord gave me a word this year. It's to tabernacle. Exodus 25, verses 8. It says, make me a sanctuary. In 2026, what are you making for God? You want God to do stuff for you. You want God to give you your breakthrough. But what are you making for God? And the Lord gave me this key on how to make it. Psalms 133, it says, I've got it here. It says, behold how good and how pleasant it is where brethren dwell together in unity. Then it says it's like oil, and then it says it's like dew. And it says, for there God commands a blessing. Where's there? There's a place. Wherever there's unity, unity in your family, unity in your friends, unity, there God commands a blessing. So get the unity. Let's get it together. Tell
Amen.
someone today, if you're listening to me, tell someone today, let's get it together because there is the blessing.
Amen.
Bless
I
you. Thank
love
you so
that.
much, Jenny. It's been a blessing being with you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Brenton Goldman. Let's get it together, man. Let's get it
Yeah, come
together.
on.
If people would like to know more about your ministry in Port Elizabeth online, where do we get to you?
Well, we're on Facebook, we're on YouTube, we're on Instagram. So you can find us Ebenezer International, or you can search my name, Brenton Goldman, and you'll find all the details there.
Let's do that. Thank you so much to you, your beautiful wife, your family, and the entire congregation. All our love to your parents as well, and thank them for what they've done for the kingdom of God and continue to do. I appreciate it. Until we speak again, Pastor.
Bless you.